In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Best and rest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
Alrighty, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And I am Walter DeRiley, Canadian Dental Retainer Association poster boy.
And as always, we are here from you, for you guys to talk about comic books on a weekly basis.
Yes, we
Walter,
are.
Walter, it's wonderful to have you back. I know you're still struggling a little bit, but the fans have demanded it.
Yes, they have.
They demand you to come back.
Chris, I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
You ever had anything shoved in your mouth that you didn't want in there? you probably have many times.
I can't even begin to tell you the number of times that's happened to
me. Right. Well, I had that happen to me a couple months ago. And when you have something shoved into your mouth that you don't want there, you have a hard time talking.
I bet.
And I've gotten used to it in my mouth.
Right.
So now I'm getting a little bit better at talking.
At talking with it in your mouth.
With it in my mouth.
Now, I know this is tough for you, but is it ever going to come out of your mouth?
I kind of like it now.
You still know?
I like it in my mouth, Chris.
Yeah, well, you know,
and
it's
coming, I think, around New Year.
New Year.
Yeah.
It's a long time to have something like that in your mouth.
It is. It's terrible. But I'm fighting through it.
Yeah.
I'm getting used to it.
Good.
I'm learning to like it.
Well, you know, it's so you should. I'm sure it's leaving a bad taste in your mouth.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And you know what? Thank the Lord, Chris.
Yes.
Thank the Lord.
The Lord.
The Bia. Still tastes good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
I would have jumped off a bridge a long time ago.
You know, it's amazing that you can still fit beer in there with other things in your mouth at the same time.
I know.
It's very talented.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm ambidextrous that way. Anyway, great to be back. Hey, let's tackle the show, shall we?
In all honesty, it is great to have you back. People have been wondering where you are, and I couldn't keep up the facade any longer. I just couldn't.
The facade.
Yeah, I couldn't do it all on my own any longer.
And no,
of course, we don't have. I forgot to even introduce. We do have young Buck Andrew Roebuck here to my right. He's doing our engineering. I'm all discombobulated.
You know, I have that effect on people.
I'm like a kid in a candy store.
Ooh.
Listen, we are here to talk about comic books, and let's get to that. We're going to talk about. You're pointing up your finger. We have a little bit of a problem with communication skills.
And we should mention that producer and co-host
Shecky Feldstein
is in Toronto.
Yes.
For his Night of the Living Dead live play run.
Opening night.
Opening night tonight at the Past Mariah Theater.
Yes.
Head down there after you listen to the show. And buy a ticket. Help the guy out.
There
will
you go. Perfect.
Come on.
Listen, let's talk about New This Week. New This Week is brought to you by 17 different covers for single comics. Now every new comic can have up to 17 different covers.
Wow.
It's not the 90s, but it feels like it.
It certainly does.
Do you remember that in the 90s where you'd have a bazillion different covers for the same comic?
Well, yeah, and they would all. Remember that? I think the most famous ones were probably the. Batman Legends of the Dark Knight.
There was four for that.
But they were just different color.
It was just a different color.
It was literally
a different color.
There was no artwork.
No.
And it was a different color.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm not going to name names or say who used to do it, but I remember a particular store, you know, because people would come in and say, well, which one's going to be the one that's going to be worth the most?
Right.
So someone, I won't name names, used to...
Take
off a half of the stack,
uh-huh.
And he'd say, well, look at the one that's, you know, that's selling out the most. I guess that's the one that's going to be, you know, and then, you know.
That guy stole my trick.
Yeah, that's right.
I love doing that at cons. It'd be like, You know, you have 17 copies of some book, and you put one up.
My last one, buddy. Yeah.
And oh, I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. How many more of those Captain Canuck number ones do you have?
How many more last ones?
Last ones, yeah.
Yeah. So what has got irked your ire?
17 different covers. Okay, maybe not 17, but I believe there's 11.
Yeah.
11 different covers for Walking Dead number 115. Now, of course.
Hold on. What's so special about Walking Dead?
About 115, I believe it's maybe a 10-year anniversary or something
okay,
like that.
Yeah.
But the big thing is that it's coming back this weekend. This Sunday.
Walking Dead's coming
back. October 13th.
October
13th. Is season 4, episode number 1
of the TV show.
It's coming back this weekend.
Reason to have?
Yeah, and for Canadian Thanksgiving, you can give thanks for The Walking Dead by buying yourself 11 different copies of the same issue of the comic. Now, if that wasn't enough, I think it's like 11. Mm-hmm. If that wasn't enough, they're also reprinting issue number 1 of the original series.
Uh-huh.
So it's a 10th anniversary edition, so it's a reprint in a nifty little square bound format, and they're also reprinting the Tyrese special. I think it's a reprint Tyrese special. Originally published in Walking Dead number 7, so
right.
Tyrese special, but now it says number 1. So really, there's 13 different comics if you're a Walking Dead fan that you have to buy all in one go.
Wow!
And the number one reprint of the original number one is actually $6 now.
Woo-hoo.
So, but you know what? Hey, you can either go and buy an original number one for like
thousands,
or you can buy this one for $6.
That's a bargain. $6
at half the price.
Now,
I'll take.
Now, if you're not caught up on all the Walking Deads, you may want to stay away from some of the covers because it looks like they hold some spoilers for things that early happen in their run, like character deaths.
There are certain character deaths and things like that, so be careful with the kind of covers that you're looking at. So now, this has nothing to do with the TV series, though, because it does take place in a different sort of – it's similar, but it's not quite the same.
It's
the same, but not the same.
It's different.
That's right, yeah.
All right, okay,
same
I get
as,
it.
Same as it ever was.
Set the dum-dum-dum.
That's right, same as it ever was. All right, so listen, that is Walking
Dead. So hold on. Walking Dead number what? What number?
115.
115.
Yeah.
Is available in 20, how many?
35 different covers.
Different covers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So at your local comic book store.
And they're available where?
At your local comic book store.
Thank you. Because, Chris, if we don't do anything on this show.
We have to promote.
Champion.
Champion, rather. The
local
comic book shop.
All right. Indeed.
Listen, next one I want to talk about here is we've got Superman Wonder Woman number 1. And this, of course, has a wonderful gatefold issue that has all your favorite characters that you've probably never seen before drawn like that. Like, why wouldn't Orion of the New Gods be on there? But Superman Wonder Woman number 1 is coming out. And this is an interesting book. It's Charles Soule and Tony S. Daniels is doing the pencils. And, of course, this just kind of helps to... I don't know. Just talk a little bit more. It seems like it's more about the relationship between Superman and Wonder Woman.
Oh,
of course,
there's
fighting involved and there's stuff. There's sexual tension, I guess you'd call it.
Sexual tension.
And of course, Doomsday is in it too.
Wow.
Of course, you remember, for those who are old like us, you remember Doomsday was the guy that originally killed Superman back in the day.
Yeah.
Of course, he shows up again in this one. Looks like he's wearing.
And where'd that get him?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
In a new 52 comic.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, this looks good. It's nice and shiny
and
glossy.
If you like shiny comics, this is the one to get.
This is nice. It kind of looks like a Jim Lee cover.
I don't think it is, though.
No, it's not, but it kind of looks...
It does have the Jim Lee feel to it.
Jim Lee feel to it.
Yeah.
Tony Daniel did the cover.
Yes, yes.
So that's, what is that, Superman Wonder Woman number 1, and that is...
Available at your local comic book store.
Right.
Yeah,
okay. Thanks,
today.
Chris. You're good.
All right. Okay, next up, I wanted to, again, another DC book I want to talk about.
Really?
We've got I want to talk about Forever Evil, Arkham War number 1. Now, hot off the tail of
hot off the tail.
The Villains Month. that we had, you know, back in September.
Way back
in September. Now we've got Forever Evil, and this is sort of the new crossover. And I was chatting with our young buck here, engineer, talking about the number of crossovers and books to be buying right now. There are currently at least three crossovers going on. There's the Forever Evil crossover in DC.
Crossover meaning?
So you have to buy all the different books that are going on.
So Forever Evil is being crossed over in, let's say, Green Lantern.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Maybe not those ones,
okay,
but there is crossovers. Yeah,
crossovers. Right.
And then, of course, this was just hot off the heels of the DC Villains Month, which was sort of also a bit of a crossover type thing.
I hated that Villains Month. I got confused with the points.
The points?
The point number system.
Oh, I see.
It was like a Dewey Decimal system. And I could never figure out the library system.
Wait, you know, don't you have to go to school for like 15 years to become a librarian or something like that?
Yeah, and then they expect a schmuck to walk into a library and figure all that out with a library card.
Can't do it. Can't be done.
I couldn't figure out that. What's it called again?
Villains Month.
Villains Month, thank you. And so I'm thankful at least that they're back to just like normal numbers.
Exactly.
Full integers.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got you off topic.
I remember I was full on integer at one point, but you know, it's just. Anyways, Forever Evil Arkham War, number one. This is by Peter Tomasi and Scott Eaton. I gotta say, it looks awesome. The art in it looks fantastic. The coloring is great. It's got all your favorite villains are in it, and basically
all your favorite villains.
Yes, it even says the world's greatest villains are picking sides for the war to come. So basically,
The villains are picking sides?
That's right. There's going to be a big war going on in the DC universe.
Between the villains?
Yes.
So is it like a civil war with villains?
Kind of.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, it's a good-looking book, I got to tell you.
And that is what?
Forever Evil. Arkham War.
Number one. And that is?
Available at your local comic book retailer today.
Wow.
All right, we got a lot of books to talk about today. Next up, we got to talk about Wolverine.
Let's talk about Wolverine. That Wolverine.
He's always up to no good.
He's such a flirt.
Wolverine number 10, part 3 of 6 of Inkillable. Now this is Paul Cornell is the writer. Alan Davis and Mark Farmer are doing the penciling and inking. That's
one hell of a creative team, by the way.
It is. It's awesome. Always loved it. Always loved that team. It really is a great team. You know what? And this, I like this book a lot because it has a lot of Wolverine and Kitty Pryde in it. And I've always liked the relationship between those
two. I love
characters.
Wolverine books that have a lot of Wolverine in them.
Most of them do.
Right. Okay.
But some of them don't.
Oh.
Some of them don't. This one has Wolverine and Kitty Pryde, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolverine's always taken Kitty Pryde as sort of like a younger sister kind of thing. You know, always kind of kept her under the wing. And I've always liked that, you know, kind of like a big team-up kind of thing. But I like it. You know, Wolverine's getting messages that someone's out to get him. And even on the cover, it says, "The Wolverine Dies Tonight." So good-looking book, that is. Wolverine number 10 by Marvel.
And where can we find this?
That is available at your local comic book retailer.
Wow.
Yeah. So, of course, this is, with the advent of Walking Dead, zombies are coming around this weekend.
No.
Halloween is coming up soon, right? What are you dressing up for Halloween as this year?
Well, a werewolf again.
Nice. I like that. Yeah.
No, I used to be a werewolf.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm all right. No.
Okay, listen.
Hello, this thing on?
Listen, Archie is entering the horror comic business once again.
Archie's here.
Wasn't there like Archie comics that were kind of horror like back in the day, like in the 1950s
and
stuff like that?
There were Archie comics from day one, I think.
Horrors, you said, right?
Yes.
Archie has always been full of horrors.
Yes.
Listen.
Now, by the way, that Archie comic has also, I think, 25 different covers.
I think it has 3 or 4.
Four? 24.
So this one's called The Afterlife with Archie. And, of course, Archie has to get in on the zombie and spiritual kind of
thing.
Listen,
Chris, I was told at the shop, because I'm responsible. I have a tough job, right?
Yeah.
I have to put the books into their little cubbyholes.
Yeah.
And I was told not to put the Archie where they normally go.
Right.
Into the kids section.
Well, you know, this
and
is...
I go, what, pray tell, what gives?
Yeah.
And they told me all about this, what's it called again?
Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah. And so I go, oh, this is like Archie for adults.
It is, yeah. Wow. It is. But it's not just adults, but it's like a horror theme to it. And there's like some blood and some scary stuff going on.
But it's not for kids.
No, it is clearly not for kids.
Mm.
Clearly not for kids. But really good looking artwork. You know, the art in the book is by Francesco Francavilla, who's actually a great artist. Stories by
Francesco.
Roberto Aguirre.
Roberto.
Yes.
Hey, listen, Chris, it got me to thinking.
Yeah. It's been a long time since you've done that.
Yeah, since I did that. And last time I thought I got something shoved in my mouth. That's the problem. Where was I?
I don't know. I'm sure I don't know.
No. It got me thinking about this Archie guy, right?
Okay.
So, you know how Batman is written for many different age groups?
Yep, absolutely.
And so Spider-Man. Yep. And whereas Archie, all of them were always okay for all ages.
Right.
Well, you know, now that we've kind of crossed that boundary and are making this comic for, you know, more grown-ups.
Yep.
Does it keep going from there? Will they do like a crossed Archie after that where it's just offside Archie? You know what I mean?
You say like a crossed?
Yeah, crossed Archie.
I
like
hope
not. Like a porno Archie
like a
after that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like where does it stop? They could have like the high-end Archie explicit.
They could.
And then they could have the baby Archie and
they
all
could,
that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, they could. I think there might be something wrong if they do like porno Archie.
I imagine that would have a lot of mistakes for grandmas coming in picking their kids up stuff.
You might not be able to
actually,
pick that
grandma
up.
Might just keep that for herself.
might not be able to pick that up at your local supermarket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just, that's, I mean, so I guess my point is I think it's good.
Are Archie's bimbos and chicks maybe, something like that?
Well,
you know?
No. Okay. Well, we'll wait for those.
All right.
But I think this is good that Archie is branching out, I guess.
Well, it is. He is definitely branching out. And let's not forget that he's already branched out. Remember they had that Archie magazine, that Life with Archie magazine that was coming out before? It was a little bit more adult-oriented as well. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just pushing the boundaries a little bit further. I don't think they're going to go that much further than what they've already done.
I disagree.
Okay, well, you know, you and I will just have to agree to disagree.
Fair enough.
But listen, all those books and many, many more are available at your local comic book retailer today. Now,
so please go out and support your local comic book.
Yes. Now, well, it's great to have you back, and in honor of having you back, we are going to do an all Krantz, all Spider-Man theme song show today. So let's get it started. We're going to do, this is, of course, the end of Skymaster.
That was magic. Listen, there was a guy there that can do wonders with something in his mouth.
Really
flute,
is.
That flute
that
was
flute
beautiful.
Work,
oh,
great. He was a great
nice.
Flautist.
Flautist. Yes. Yes, he was.
Listen, we got Mailbag up next.
Yeah.
Mailbag up next. And Mailbag, Comic Culture Mailbag, is brought to you by the Bitterman Society, P.O. Box, Burlington, Ontario.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's where John Bitterman's from.
Yeah, that's right. John Bitterman is from. That's
so
right.
He heads the Bitterman Society of Canada.
I think he's heading that. That's right.
You know what? Fitting.
Yeah. Very good. Well, you know what?
Fitting.
We all need a hobby, right?
Yeah, we all do. That's true. And he's perfect.
He is perfect. That's right. But you know who is not a bitter man?
Who?
We had a letter written into us the other day. Keith from Fort Erie wrote
Keith.
To us. Great article. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He wrote us a nice, big, long email. Thank you very much for writing to us, Keith. Really appreciate it. Basically, he talked about a bunch of different things, but one of the things he did talk about was he was saying that he used to be a fan of Magnus Robot Fighter when he was growing up, which is, of course, a great comic for the old Golden Age comic.
Yeah.
Great covers, great art on the inside. And he was basically saying, you know, how like you and I have heard so many times, his comics got thrown up.
His comics got thrown up.
You know, I'm just so nervous having you around me again, Walt.
I know, Chris. I have that effect on people.
All of his comics got thrown out by his mother, and now he's trying to rebuild the collection, and he wants to know what's the best way to go about doing this.
His Magnuses?
Magnus Robot Fighter, yeah. The gold the gold key ones, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. What's his name, Jim?
Keith.
Keith?
Jim.
Keith? All right, Keith. Listen. This is what you don't do.
All right.
Okay? You do not go online, go on a big auction, and buy them all.
No.
You know? Because where's the magic in that?
Yeah, great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
Head out to your local comic book shops.
Yeah.
Every time you're out of town, head into a comic book shop.
Yeah.
Head into your convention in the area that you're in. Travel to a convention.
Yeah.
Make it a 5-year mission to boldly go
where no collector has gone before
and cherish and build memories. Did I say memories?
memories. Yeah.
Cherish and build memories. It's the thing in my mouth, Chris.
Yeah.
Of where you found that number 3. Oh,
yeah,
I found that number 3 at this cool little place. You know, that kind of stuff. So,
what's
the name again?
Keith.
Keith. Don't take the easy way out. He may have a little bit of money and disposable income.
Here's my question to you. I was going to suggest to him that, you know, when he's buying them, maybe don't necessarily go for the perfect grade ones, but don't go for the ones that are 50 cents either, right? Go for something that's a nice grade. Maybe, obviously, he wants to read them again or look through them, should he be buying the ones that are slabbed?
You know what? Because if he's doing a Magnus run, I'm going to tell him right now that that's not going to be a long-term investment. The number one, Keith? Go out and get a 9.6 Magnus 1.
Okay.
Because that will be your investment book.
Right.
That will be the book that one day you'll sell and maybe make a little bit of money on to absorb the bath that you take buying all the other ones. Right?
But wait a second. As we've always said, people should never be buying these comics.
To
make money.
I understand that. But, I mean listen, that may be on the agenda.
Right. Okay.
But if it is, then pick up the number one that way. But the rest of them, just pick up nice, you know, 7.0, 8.0 copies.
Yep.
Nice quality copies.
Yep.
Don't pay an arm and a leg for them, but don't buy dogs.
You know,
right? So you'll be happy with the stuff that you have.
I think one of the greatest points you made today is the fact that don't go out and try to buy them all at once.
Yeah.
When, as a collector, and believe me, I've been a collector for a long time. As a collector, it's always a bittersweet ending when you finish a run of anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say you're buying Spider-Mans or Daredevils or, heck, you're Richie Rich or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
When you finally buy that last one you need for the run,
right,
there's this feeling like, hey, it's done.
Yeah.
Oh, it's done.
Maybe I should upgrade now, but it's not the same.
But what do I get now?
Yeah, it's not
right?
the same. Yeah. Yeah,
so you know what?
Now,
take your time on
enjoy.
It. Enjoy it. Enjoy going to the conventions,
the
stores,
shops,
chatting with people about it.
Yeah, picking stuff up on eBay here and there that's like a deal. Don't just pay for the sake of having it.
No, I agree. Right. Completely agree. Listen, Keith, we do appreciate you writing in and keep on buying those Magnus Robot Fighters. And, you know, he even said he's not a bitter man, so he will not be joining the Bitterman Society of Burlington.
Good for him. Yeah. All right.
Listen, we're going to keep on going here with some industry news. And industry news is brought to you by Nelvana of the Northern Lights. She needs your money. Contribute today.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, Nelvana, Chris, Sunday night, because I get around.
Yeah, well, I've heard that about you, now that you've got things in your mouth.
Yeah. Sunday night, I was in Toronto with this thing in my mouth.
Yeah.
It never stopped me from going to Toronto, fair enough.
That's good. That's good.
And I was at the Nelvana Kickstarter party.
Kickstarter party. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So a couple of people we know, Hope Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel Ritchie.
Yeah.
I have a hard time saying Rachel.
Rachel Ritchie.
Ritchie, okay. Yeah. They got the rights to reprint the old Nelvana stories from the Bell books.
Let's just back things up a bit here.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about the original Nelvana character that came out in the 30s. 41. Sorry,
yeah.
Okay. And this is like basically Canada's first female superhero.
She predates Wonder Woman, by the way. Yeah.
Right.
And so, they've never been reprinted, the 31 stories.
No.
And so these gals got the rights to do that.
Right.
So they started a Kickstarter to raise money.
To pay for the rights.
Pay for the rights.
And to pay for the printing and all that
How long
stuff.
Is Kickstarter? 30?
I think it's 30 days, yeah.
So that was day 5 on Sunday.
Right.
They wanted 25,000.
Right.
For the endeavor.
Yeah.
And they were at like 27 already in 5 days.
Yeah,
amazing.
I think that they're already up to past 30,000 now.
Yeah, they might be at 400,000.
And I think in the first hour, I think I remember reading they raised $1,000 in like the first hour.
Yeah,
like,
amazing.
Yeah, incredible. Really. Yeah, it's great. But I think this is an important part of not only comic book culture, but also of Canadiana, right?
Absolutely.
Because this is the first time that we're going to get a chance to see a printed copy of, most of us anyways,
of
Nelvana. Of
the Nelvana
character,
right. We've all just seen pictures of her, right?
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
A great, great, great thing to do.
Absolutely.
And I don't know where you'd go. I guess you just Google it.
Where to buy it, you mean?
No. Where to participate.
If you want to participate, you can go to... the only thing... Is it a Kickstarter or was
Kickstarter.
It Indiegogo?
Kickstarter.
It was Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is go to Kickstarter in Canada.ca and go to Nelvana. Like, do a search for Nelvana.
And you'll find
up.
It,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I believe... Comic Book Daily also has a... blog has a blurb about the Nelvana thing,
right,
and I believe there's a link to the Kickstarter from there as well.
Right, yeah, on Comic Book Daily. So, Andrew wrote that.
Right,
on
so you can go to comicbookdaily.com and check that out as well.
All right,
I think that's awesome. I think it's
a lot great,
of fun.
Yeah, great. Good luck to the gals and great work so far.
Yeah, speaking of more hometown type stuff going on, Hamilton had their first Hammertown Con. And from what I have been able to ascertain is that it was fairly successful. I mean, Walt, you and your crew was set up there with a couple of tables. I went just to kind of go hang out, check it out. From what I'm hearing, mixed reviews on the whole, very good. First show, first outing. The guys that usually put on the Niagara Comic Book Convention put this show on. One day show. Long show went from 10 in the morning till 7 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So $25 to get in. Now, I'm hearing discrepancies. Somebody told me it was 20. Somebody told me it was 25. I was lucky enough if I got a pass to get in, so I didn't have to pay.
But you're welcome, Chris.
Thank you very much, Walt. But I believe it was 25, Andrew?
It was 25 at the door. I believe, wasn't it 20 if you got it before?
Yeah. And then it was 15 if you got it in July.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So... hearing lots of great things about it. People loved the guests. People loved meeting guys like Leonard Kirk and Greg Hyland, Francis Manapul, all the guys from the Raid studio was there. They had a big Back to the Future lineup of cast, and they had two DeLoreans there.
Yeah, one was Pat Mastriani.
Pat Mastriani.
Joey Jeremiah.
Joey Jeremiah from Degrassi.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had another DeLorean there.
Yeah.
And then they had three of the actors from the original Back to the Future movie
Right,
which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
And as well as they had, I think Armin Shimerman, he was there. Was he not there from Star Trek?
Robert Picardo, thinking of.
I thought Armin Shimerman, maybe
he was supposed to be, but he ended up not being able to act.
Okay, so So Robert Picardo showed up. He was the guy that played the hologram
on
one of the Star Trek shows. I don't remember which one it was now.
Deep Space Nine?
I think so.
Could have been. Yeah, could have been Deep. No, wasn't it Voyager?
Voyager.
So he was there a lot, and they had wrestlers there, and they had all kinds of great guests. All in all, it seemed like it was a good show. What's your take on it, Walt?
Well, I thought it was.
Seems like a good,
pardon me. It was excellent. It was what we were hoping for. Year one.
Yeah.
A building show. It was past the expectations for the number of people through the door.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And it's a great segue prelude to the next show, which is next year, which we're hoping for a 2-day con.
Right.
Right. And there were good guests this time. And I think we're going to have even stronger guests next year.
Nice.
And
when's Stan Lee coming?
This is Stan Lee. We're working on Stan.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, obviously there's the room was relatively small in terms of big convention standards.
Yeah. The physical constraints of the room, I think, was probably the biggest complaint.
You know, and that's. What happens in first-year cons, too, is about half the people through the door are kind of newbies, first-timers.
Right, right, yeah.
And everything is like deer in headlights.
Yeah,
oh, my God, it's so cool, right? And so you have to get through that. You have to get past that first year.
Yes.
I think it helps if the room looks extra packed as opposed to getting 100,000 square feet. It looks like tumbleweeds, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, it was something that you had to fight through the first year. I thought we came through it with flying colors.
Yeah, no.
And I'm just super excited about the second one.
I think, as I said, I think the biggest complaint was the size of the room and the number of artists and dealers. Now, granted, you know, I'm an old comic guy, and you know, going to shows like Chicago and New York and Boston and all these other. So I'm used to the giant hundreds thousand square foot rooms and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this seemed it harkened back to be like an old hotel. Yeah. Convention type show, right?
Well, bigger than that.
But it had that feel to it, which is a good. Yeah. It's a good feel because usually people that go to these shows are diehards, right? They're not there just because for the sake of going. You know, hey, I've got nothing to do. They want to go there because it's fun and it's had a good time. But anyway,
Bottom line though is Hamilton and its environs.
Yes,
is a large metropolitan center.
Yes.
Okay, you take a 20-minute radius out of Hamilton, 20 minutes. And you are near a million people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And, you know, this place deserves an annual pop culture event.
I
think we're well on our way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great idea. All right. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. We do have lots of crants to get through to you for today. Let's go with, how about we go with The Scarf?
Thank you.
Chris. I don't know why. Don't ask me why, okay?
I won't ask you why.
But I listen to that, I want to slap something.
Oh, you know, I'm not going anywhere around there. The song is called The Scarf.
Yeah, I know. See?
Yeah, Scarf. All right. Listen. Let's continue on with industry news.
Let's.
And industry news is, of course, brought to you by Canadian Whites. Canadian
yeah.
Whites like Nelvana of the Northern Lights, coming to you soon in a reprinted form.
Yo, Canadian Whites like Nelvana of the Northern Lights.
Oh, I like. We gotta get. You know what? We gotta get Leon to do a rap.
What's wrong with me doing it?
Leon would be great.
Hey. All right. Listen.
Yes.
Let's talk about villains.
Let's talk, I like villains.
Yeah.
Villains.
And let's talk about, I think Warner's likes villains.
Mm.
Oh.
I think you're right.
No.
And because Warner's
villains,
likes,
they stole the show.
Well, they really did.
In September.
Villains Month definitely gives DC a big win.
Yeah.
Big win for DC. Over 4.3 million DC comics were sold in September.
Insane.
Mainly because of Villains Month, right?
Right, yeah.
DC had the top market share with 40%, over 40%, versus Marvel's 28%. That is huge.
That is about as lopsided as we've seen it.
Yeah,
I
have not seen figures so lopsided like that in ages. You know, usually it's the other way around.
Since our last poker game, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Now DC also had almost twice as many actual releases of titles.
Yeah.
They had 129 releases, whereas Marvel only had 67. Now, this is – which is insane in and of itself. You know, when I was working at comic book stores 20 years ago,
yeah,
67 titles in a month for one company would have been like crazy,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And now that's like – you know, now DC has 129.
Yeah, Marvel, that's a slow month for Marvel.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think Marvel
yeah.
said, hey, DC's got this huge thing coming up. Let's just kind of pull back and...
You'd think, right? Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But DC's Forever Evil, number one, the core title is, it was the first universe-wide crossover event since the New 52.
It sold almost 140,000copies.
Yeah, crazy, eh?
No.
Crazy. So clearly, DC is doing something well. Now, here's what I didn't like. Now, we haven't been on the air, you and I, for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
During DC Villains Month, they had all these lenticular hologram cover type things going on.
I remember, yeah.
And you know, allocated heavily because there were stores that were ordering them and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you get all these comics with funny covers on them. You've got a myriad of different kinds of covers going on right now. Am I back? Am I trapped in the 90s again? What's going on here? I don't know if I can handle all this stuff that's happening.
Can't handle the truth, Chris.
Is this going to kill the industry again? Are people going to get sick of comics because the collectors are going to run out of money? Who can afford 11 different covers for Walking Dead? Who can afford to go out and spend all this money on all these different covers?
Well, I hope we're a far way away from the 90s for a couple of reasons. One is there's an educated crowd buying this stuff.
Right.
Two is just the number of books printed will not allow a bubble like that before. But remember,
right,
like Forever Evil... 140,000?
Right. Yeah.
That was big.
Yeah.
That's not 7 million X-Men number
true,
ones.
True
it's
enough.
Not 2 million Spider-Man number ones,
yes,
or 3 million Spawn number ones,
yes,
or 18 billion Death of Supermans,
right,
and stuff like that.
Right.
So, and with the advent of the, what's that thing, the internet.
Internet,
yeah. There are people that are walking into local comic book stores.
Yeah.
And buying the 3D cover,
yep,
and going online and making money right away.
Right.
Like, because of the internet,
yep,
they're able to flip these things quickly.
Right.
And it sounds wrong and it sounds bad. As long as the local comic book shops stay true,
yep,
and sell them for cover,
yeah,
it's not their fault.
No, you're right.
You know
you're
what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like,
we're not here to defend.
No. I'm just saying, but I think generally speaking, though, with the internet and with all the young collectors, and they know about the 90s. Everybody knows about the 90s.
Right.
Right?
Unless you're born in the 90s.
But no, even they read about it.
But I'm not being serious.
No, but even they look online and they understand that that's what happened and they've read about it.
I don't know if a lot of them are all that savvy.
I think they are.
Andrew?
As a person born in the 90s, I'm well aware of all the shenanigans that went down with comic books in the 90s.
So we're insulated to a large degree to having that run up again that severe.
Right, and, fair enough.
So, you know what, I think this is getting people talking. This is getting people into the door. At the end of the day, too, I'm going to be honest about this. At the end of the day one, you got me. Tell me after. listen, what today's books have that the 90s books don't have is quality between the covers.
That is a great point. That's a great point.
And so that is, they're going to take them home.
Yeah.
They're going to read them.
Yeah.
Because the culture today is to read them.
Yes, you're right.
So when somebody comes in and buys two, one to save, it's like a far cry from 50.
Yeah, that's true. Right. People used to buy 50, 100 copies if they wanted to retire off of them, right?
So, yeah, there are hints of the 90s.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near the level.
All right, fair enough. All right, yeah, all right. You've convinced me.
All right. Listen,
you know what doesn't need convincing is this awful. Oh, bless you. Too bad we don't have a cough button for that.
Oh.
You know what I don't need convincing for, though, is the soon-to-be amazing collaboration between Disney and Marvel at the Disney theme parks. Now, at first, you might be saying, Chris, you're off your rocker, because you know what? I might be, but I'm not.
You're off your rocker.
That's what I was waiting for.
I was in the middle of a drink of water, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And I couldn't get joke out.
I know. Listen, the Iron Man experience is coming to Disneyland Hong Kong. Now, this is as far as I know, this is the first collaboration with Disney and Marvel to create a Marvel ride in one of the Disney theme parks.
By collaboration, Chris, I'm going to interject.
Yes.
I think correct. Since they're already one company, you're probably talking about the first synergy.
Right.
Did I say that right?
Synergy, kind of.
Can I say it again?
Sure.
Synergy.
Well, I don't know. Can you?
No. Currently, I can't. That's okay.
Okay, but you know what I mean? Like,
They're getting around to it.
They're finally getting around to stuff.
Let me buy you so we can do stuff.
Right.
And they're finally getting around to doing it.
Well, so if you wish, you can now go to Disneyland Hong Kong, and you can go on you can have the idea that you're going to be on a flight with Iron Man on an epic adventure. That, of course, I'll read. You know, let me just read it verbatim here. That not surprisingly pits Iron Man and the guests against the forces of evil. So, of course, you know, you can again meet and greet Iron Man while you're there, I'm sure, and do all kinds of stuff like that. So, I think this is great.
Yeah, I think it's great too.
I'm looking forward to a new Marvel land in Disney World. Hopefully,
you know
one
what? Day. It's funny. Everybody harps on Disney how old-fashioned and how out of date and how whatever, but in the whole world, everybody wants to go to Disneyland.
Absolutely.
And everybody enjoys what they present.
What is there, four theme parks around the world? I think there's
one in Japan.
Japan, Hong Kong,
France
and
no,
and
there's two in the States, right? Disney. Florida. Well, okay, and
Disney,
California.
Yeah, but the Disneyland doesn't really count. They're talking about Disney World, right?
Right, okay.
I guess there's two in the States. But you're right.
So
four different countries, I'll say.
And they they are magical places to go.
You know what's also a magical place? Apparently Africa.
Why?
Well, if you're a Doctor Who fan, apparently there are lost episodes of Doctor Who available in Africa. Now,
hold on. I got it. Oh, Doctor Who, I presume.
That's right.
You see, because Dr. Livingston.
We get the joke. Never mind. Okay, forget. Anyways, so here's the thing. So months ago, Bleeding Cool reports on the fact that there might be...
Love Bleeding Cool.
Might be like 100 episodes of lost Doctor Who tapes found in Ethiopia.
Running around Africa.
In Ethiopia. So I guess what happened was you know,
some Maasai warriors are in their in their hut. Just loving the Doctor Who.
That's right.
And then they're not giving it up for anybody.
Well, apparently what happened was, I'm going to give you a quick story here. Apparently what happened, so in the 80s, in the, you know, when videotapes became highly the thing to have, VHS and that kind of thing.
All the rage. Yeah.
All the rage. They've, you know, of course, Doctor Who, they've got all these tapes of old Doctor Who episodes from even before that. And all videotapes are expensive, the high quality ones. So, and rather than, you know, creating and buying new ones, let's just re-record over them. So they start re-recording over old episodes of never before aired episodes of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Now, in the
back in England, you're saying?
Back in the BBC.
Oh!
But, oh, I say.
A pity.
We really should have contracted our young friend from across the pond to
collaborate
on this. Oh,
our reporter.
Yeah, our
Danny Champ.
Danny Champ.
Hey, Danny. How you doing, old chum?
Sorry. So anyway, so, you know, so the BBC gets a hold of all these tapes. They erase them all. And but in the meantime, a bunch had been sent out as sort of feelers to see if various TV stations across the world wanted to buy up the Doctor Who franchises. And I guess there's a couple places.
In Nairobi there.
In Ethiopia and Nairobi, wherever it happens to be. So some guys working at a radio station, a TV station, loves Doctor Who and just starts hoarding them.
Oh.
So now he's got all these episodes of Doctor Who. Now, originally it was 106, then I heard 76, and then somebody told me 4. Somewhere between 4 and like 106, this guy's got lots of Doctor Who episodes that have never before been seen, and he's given them back to the BBC, and there's going to be a big announcement today, either today or tomorrow, could be Thursday, about the Doctor Who and all these remastered tapes of old episodes.
Wow.
Pretty crazy, eh?
I love it.
I mean,
and who discovered this? Some guy on vacation in Addis Ababa?
Addis Ababa.
I think that's how you say it, isn't it?
Who knows, right? Who knows?
Yeah.
Some guy all of a sudden goes, you know, I don't want these old episodes of Doctor Who anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm going to watch Downton Abbey instead.
Nicely done. Well, listen, there's a lot, Chris. There are a lot of Doctor Who fans.
Well, this is the thing, right?
Here's the thing.
That's why I thought I'd bring it up, because Doctor Who is a huge pop culture
crazy,
event.
Yeah.
Or, you know, phenomenon, I guess you should say.
Phenomenon.
Phenomenon. So, listen, and speaking of Doctor Who, Matt Smith is the current Doctor right now.
He is.
And very quickly, I got to let you know that Matt... So, ever seen the movie American Psycho?
No.
Okay. Well, American Psycho was like a serial killer type movie with Christian Bale, who was, of course, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Smith is going to star in a musical theatrical version of American Psycho, which...
Really?
I don't really know how they're going to do that with a, you know, a serial killer... stage musical
is
play
that,
type
is
thing.
Is American Psycho the one with the leg lamp?
No.
You mean a Christmas story?
Oh, okay. Totally wrong. I don't know where I got that from. Chris, hey, listen, great tidbit there.
Yeah, So anyways, leg lamp.
Nice.
You know what? Nothing but leg lamp all the way. I think that may have been in some sort of Texas Chainsaw movie, though. You never know, right?
Yeah.
All right, listen, let's keep on going here. How about we have a musical interlude with, let's do Born Loser.
Listen, I feel like a winner.
Whenever you hear that.
When I hear that. Born loser.
Absolutely,
totally wrong.
Absolutely.
All right, what do we got, Chris? What's next?
You know what? We're all going to be winners if this happens. Wonder Woman is...
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
could just see Wonder Woman on TV or in the movies.
Oh,
it could be happening. You know what? They've been trying for a long time now to get something going with television or movies with Wonder Woman. But apparently the CEO, Kevin Tsujihira, he's the CEO, of Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
He is dying to get Wonder Woman on the air or in the movie somehow.
He's a smart kid, this Kevin.
Well, you know what? Absolutely. Why not, right?
Oh.
It's probably the number one female recognized heroine in all of pop culturedom.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Other than maybe Princess Leia or something like that.
Yeah.
Lara
Croft.
Lara Croft, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wonder Woman. You have to say all those in the same breath.
You really do. Yeah, you really do. But anyways, as quoted by the Hollywood Reporter, Tsujihira was at a is this some sort of law entertainment law conference, and he basically said that
I love those things, those entertainment law conferences.
You got to go to those.
Man, party.
Yeah, big party happening there. Not. Apparently, he's talking about the lack of superhero movies and how Superman and Batman franchises have been kind of a missed opportunity so far, although they've been doing somewhat well. But he says he does have a desired focus to develop Wonder Woman soon, saying we need to get Wonder Woman on the big screen or on TV soon.
Hair.
Why not? Really? You know what? I saw a fan-made Wonder Woman movie thing on YouTube the other day, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how they can make fan-made movies and clips and things like that are so well done, yet they can't come out with a decent storyline.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Go, you know, if you're looking for a decent storyline with Wonder Woman, go back to
You know what I'm going to tell you?
What were you going
to
say?
I'm going to tell you. You want to make a good superhero movie?
Yeah.
Stay away. Get rid of. Do never, ever use.
Yeah.
That stupid melodramatic music that they use.
Oh, I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, like the scene filler that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. I always just fall asleep when I do that. You know what I mean?
I think Marvel's really hit the nail on the head with the movies.
Uh-huh.
I think they get that superheroes are superheroes. Make them be fun and energetic.
Come on.
It's a superhero movie, right?
I'm the only guy in the world, I think, that didn't really like the three Batman movies.
Right, the new ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Very dark.
You know what I mean?
Very dark.
Yeah.
You know what?
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
And, hey, I don't want Sid Caesar up there.
Right? Sid Caesar?
Caesar Romero?
Didn't I say that?
Sid Caesar.
Right, I don't want him out there either.
From your show of shows?
Yeah, I didn't want him out there either. Or Catherine Kitt there. What was her name?
Eartha Kitt.
Catherine O'Hara. I don't want them out there.
No.
But nor do I want some sort of, I don't know.
Dark, brooding Batman.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand.
Yeah. DC, Marvel is way better at it.
Yes.
They're getting better at it.
Yeah.
The Marvel, not like Sony Marvel.
No, Marvel.
Marvel. Not Fox Marvel.
No, not Fox Marvel.
Marvel.
Not Sony Marvel that does Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We want Marvel that's doing the Avengers.
Iron Man. That kind of stuff. Yeah, that's the way you make the superhero movies.
Yeah.
Iron Man, Avengers, those are good superhero movies. Not going to take them seriously.
No,
I'm going to have lots of fun going to them.
I completely agree.
When I want to read Tolstoy, I'll read Tolstoy, right? But when I want to read Iron Man, I want to be entertained, have fun, you know. I want, you know, when I want to read Spider-Man, I want to hear the wisecracks, the, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I don't want War and Peace, you know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah, so let them take heart. Let them do Wonder Woman the right way.
You know what? I watched Iron Man 3 the other day because it just came out on DVD. And, of course, I don't download movies. I actually go out and buy movies. Hard to believe, but I actually do buy these things. Bought Iron Man 3 and loved it. Loved it again. Saw it once in the theater. Saw it again on the big screen at home.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great. I really enjoyed watching the movie. You know, I highly recommend it for anybody that's into that stuff.
Good for you. I saw Iron Man 3 too, Chris.
Did you enjoy it?
I really liked it.
Nice.
It was fun.
Let's. I don't want to talk about Matt Wagner. It's kind of
Matt Wagner.
Matt Wagner is doing some sort of new Shadow.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about
the novel. Who cares?
What are you talking?
I want to talk about Marvel and the Lego video game.
Ah, yeah.
Because Lego is, of course, you know, all over the world right now, right? And it's like, all kinds of games
Quick
and stuff.
Plug out to Greg Hyland.
Greg Hyland.
Lego artist.
Lego artist.
Hamiltonian.
He filled me in on some secrets. No, I can't show you. Like, he didn't have secrets.
No.
He told me that there's some great stuff coming up soon.
Good.
But I don't know what it is.
Gee, thanks, Greg.
But anyway, speaking of Marvel and Lego.
Uh-huh.
Marvel is developing with Lego a new video game that's coming out soon. So much like DC had the DC Batman Superheroes game, and it has all your favorite DC characters in it, Marvel's doing one just like that one. However, man, I got to tell you, this one's going to have more than 100 different characters in the game.
Whoa.
And it's going to include Galactus and MODOK.
Oh.
When are you ever going to see a Lego version of MODOK? A giant
apparently
head,
soon.
Giant head floating around in the chair.
Wow.
Right? So,
About time
is right. You know what? And it's got Galactus, and I'm just looking forward to seeing all these different great Marvel characters Lego-ified and being able to play them. And you know what? I know these games are probably meant for kids, but I think they're a lot
Never.
Of fun for adults, too.
Yeah, I remember having Legos. Remember?
Yeah, of course. I did, too.
I remember
my
neighbor kid always used to try to take my Legos.
Yeah.
You know what I always said to him?
What's that?
Lego my Lego.
Yeah, you know what? Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Listen, but Lego is... I think
Chris,
it's
going to take me a couple
yeah,
shows
I know,
to get
I
the
know.
A material back
sorry,
out.
Sorry,
you know?
That was a great one.
This is the first...
Anyway, sorry. Whew. Yes, and
all right. Very quickly, over yet?
Very quickly.
No.
Do you remember Al Jaffe from Mad Magazine?
Of course,
Magazine?
I do. I went to school with him. Grade 8. Yo, Al.
Al Jaffe. Remember he? Okay, the back of every Mad Magazine had that Mad fold in.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
He's the Al Jaffe was the guy that created all
that
those.
Al Jaffe.
Right.
Okay,
Al Jaffe you went to school with.
No.
Actually, Al Jaffe even was a. He worked for Marvel and Timely and Atlas, and so he's been around for a long time. Anyways, he has decided that he is going to donate a collection of his rare books and of his artwork and all kinds of stuff to the Columbia University in Harlem in New York.
Good for him.
So,
good
for him.
Kudos to Al.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
those were great. Those
old fold-ins.
Oh,
yeah.
I used to love those.
I used to try...
It was impossible when we were kids to find... Not that we were looking for them, but every Mad Magazine you got, the back cover
was already folded.
Mangled, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
you and I were both the same ilk. We'd go to flea markets or garage sales, and you'd buy up all that stuff, right? And
yeah.
They're already all killed, and didn't matter, though. The only thing that I didn't like it is when they didn't fold it properly.
I know,
right?
Yeah.
It's some 2-year-old doing it, and I got to redo it.
And you don't get it,
you don't
get like,
the
you don't
joke.
See it.
And,
yeah. I hate when that happens.
I know. Listen.
I don't even know, Chris. Would you know the Mad Magazines of today? Do they have the fold covers?
Yeah, well, let's check. Let's check right now. I happen to have a Mad Magazine with me right here.
How do you do that?
Let's see.
You're good.
This one, it's still there, and it's still by Al Jaffe. The guy's still going strong. It doesn't look like it's much of a drawing. It looks like some buildings and stuff, but it's still there.
Hey, listen, it's still
going.
I'm just impressed that it's still going on.
Yeah. Still right. There. Anyways,
good for you, Al.
We unfortunately have run out of time. Well, where does the time go?
I don't know, Chris.
You know, are you satisfied with your first foray back into radio, Walt? Are you happy with the way things ended up today?
Chris, I gave it my best shot.
You did a great job.
Thank
great
you.
Great job.
And I look forward to coming back next week. Hopefully, I get more and more used to having this thing in my mouth.
Yes.
And, onwards.
Hopefully, you won't have that thing in your mouth that much longer.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
All right, listen. All right. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. Comic Culture is produced by Mr. Shecky Feldstein and engineered by my young buck. Not my young buck, but the young buck.
Hello.
And Andrew Roebuck sitting to my right. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com and click on the podcast link. Scroll to the comments fields and add your comments. You can also hear the podcast on comicbookdaily.com and Get the Point Radio.
Yeah, Chris, we were supposed to mention something. There's some big news on Get the Point Radio.
Yes, they've been...
We got the memo.
Yes, they got...
And we were supposed to announce it, so we'll announce it next week.
Okay, they got bought out, I think, or...
No, they're a part of some...
Oh, they're part of another bigger conglomerate type
thing. We obviously don't know what we're talking about, but we'll bring you the news next week.
as we we get told the news, we will fill you in. Listen, please go out and support your local comic book retailer. Walt, great having you back on the show.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be back. And please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.